It's been another amazing day at the Elevate Festival and another steep learning curve for my very tired mind. You don't get much sleep in these kind of places. I'm stood here with Vandana Shiva. Give me a brief description of who you are and what you do.
Well, I'm Vandana Shiva. I'm from India. I started life as a physicist, did a master's in physics honors in particle physics, and my mind took me to quantum theory, the foundations of quantum theory. So I did an interdisciplinary PhD, combining philosophy and physics, and did a doctoral thesis on non-locality and non-separability in quantum theory, which is what breaks free of the reductionist mechanistic paradigm of the old science. The new science is about relationships. And I've also then spent the last 30 years looking at relationships in ecology, ecosystems, agriculture, the relationship of the soil to the plants, plants to our food. These are being established by cutting-edge science. There's a 100-year-old reductionist mechanistic science parading as science, pushing it into commerce. But it has huge consequences because living systems are complex self-organized systems. And if you ignore those capacities of regulation within the systems, you would disrupt a lot of metabolic order.
So today, we took it right back to basics. I mean, we went on a small tour. I was accompanying you in a car, and we went to an organic, or as they say around here, bio farm, which uses no chemicals. In fact, managed to buy surrounding fields that had been using chemicals to ensure there were no chemicals leaching into the water course. Tell me about what they were doing and why you believe it's important.
Well, what they were doing is both conserving, breeding seed, as well as producing delicious vegetables. Now, we have a myth in agriculture that industrial farming brought us improved seeds, brought us higher yields, and that has solved the hunger problem. I happen to have done a study for the United Nations University, a scientific study, on why was Punjab breaking into violence in 1984 when chemical agriculture as the Green Revolution had been given a Nobel Peace Prize. So I looked at it. Monocultures of chemicals don't give you more food. And that's why we have created a new indicator called health per acre, rather than measuring the yield of nutritionally empty toxic commodities. So overall, the kind of farm we visited today, with 400 crops, 60 kinds of tomatoes growing there, that is density in biodiversity, it's density in ecological processes, and it's density in nutrition. This is the answer to hunger and malnutrition, but it's also the answer to a model of agriculture which is pushing farmers into such deep debt, driving them off their land, which is why farming for small farms have become unviable. And here was this young couple showing that it can be viable if you link directly to the consumers through health, nutrition, taste, quality.
Now, I don't know if it was because of the story and the environment and the fact I was in nature. I tasted some of this. I had a flashback to some tomatoes my grandmother gave me, and she was very picky with her tomatoes. It was a taste I hadn't tasted for a very long time, because to me, salad tomatoes don't really taste of anything. Mm-hmm. And when I mentioned this online, somebody said, oh, there's a bias there. There's a bias. And I'm like, well, how can it be a bias? Because I found out afterwards, this tomato doesn't really exist anywhere else. Yeah.
So the main thing is, Cartesian thought said all of these issues like taste and quality are secondary. All you have to do is measure extension and weight. That is the crudeness which has made us lose so much of the richness of the world, as well as create hunger, because those tomatoes have more nutrition. Mm-hmm. Organic tomatoes have more nutrition. Organic food grown in biodiversity leaves no scope for malnutrition. An industrial system which sprays a weedicide and wipes out the amaranth, wipes out the bathwa, wipes out everything green on our farms, then leaves our children with vitamin A deficiency, leaves our women with iron deficiency. The deficiencies come because of industrial chemical monocultures now being aggravated and spread even wider through GMOs.
So this can't be fixed by modified rice. And if people were to Google your name, they'll see some very aggressive conversations happening online where you're saying we mustn't create this. What was the name of the rice?
It's called golden rice.
Golden rice.
But you know, it began as a PR exercise. Mm. It was a job given to scientists to say, we're going to launch a golden rice. Now you guys go back to your labs and figure out how to introduce yellow and rice, and we will then tell the world this is going to be a source of vitamin A.
So it hasn't been made yet?
No, since 2000 they're trying. ERI, the International Rice Research Institute, which was doing the trials, announced last year that it's going to take 2 or 3 years more to get it right.
And
it doesn't exist as a commercial crop.
It hasn't stopped children getting blind.
Not at all. Not at all. It is not in production. They're trying to rush it into little Bangladesh to bypass all the international laws.
Why don't they just give other foods? Why don't they just cure the soil so people can grow a balanced diet?
That's the whole issue, my answer to malnutrition. And it's in our website. We have a campaign that women and biodiversity and their knowledge feeds the world, not GMOs and corporations, because we enhance nutrition. We think of our children. They're only thinking of profits and only thinking of control. They keep saying, oh, for the poor farmers, we'll give it for free, which means for the rest, they're going to collect royalties.
So Monsanto, the same company that created the cutely named Terminator seed, is this a seed that you cannot, doesn't reproduce itself in a crop?
Well, three issues. Monsanto is the same company that brought us Agent Orange. It's the same company that's brought us Roundup, which is now established by the WHO as a carcinogen, same company that then engineered crops to take higher doses of Roundup, and therefore anyone who says GMOs reduce pesticide use is telling a lie. The reality is there to see how much more Roundup is sprayed on Roundup-ready GMO crops. The Terminator technology was a technology they tried to deploy. They bought up a company called Delta in Pineland, which had the patent, just for this patent. It took a whole campaign in the United Nations Convention on Biological Diversity to have a ban on it. If we hadn't worked for the ban, they'd have commercialized it. They haven't withdrawn it for their conscience. They've withdrawn it because the UN system has banned it.
I can hear clapping outside. I'm going to look towards someone who's going to tell me how many minutes we've got left. I'm imagining it might only be one. Okay. Maybe we can continue this conversation. It's fascinating. I'm learning an awful lot, and I'm throwing things at you, which is coming to me from the internet, and you are batting them away like they're almost pointless arguments.
Well, and I would like to mention that those who blindly want to push GMOs by denying labeling to American citizens through the DARC Act, by preventing governments from having the freedom to have bans as they have in the US, and calling democratic decision-making anti-science. Democracy is the screen for good science. But the most important issue is people who keep talking about making GMOs as science forget that when you do any major significant change, its impacts. The study is a science. It's established in the United Nations. Biosafety is a scientific discipline, and that is the discipline they want to avoid. Those are the laws of the biosafety protocol they'd like to avoid. Basically, they'd like to engage in crimes against nature and humanity.
Oh, you say that with a smile. Because you have to laugh, I guess. It sounds crazy. People are waiting for you on stage. Thank you for giving me this time, and I hope we will speak again soon. Thank you so much.
Bye.